Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Baptism of the Lord 2009.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew you with the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David, as I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of nations. So shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God, who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation.
You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation.
God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation.
You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation.
Give thanks to the Lord, acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name.
You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation.
Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. and a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to talk about baptism and the baptism of the Lord today, Dawn.
Oh,
and
how exciting.
You had some thoughts on baptism before the podcast that you were sharing with me, and I think you should share those with the audience.
Oh, it's sharing day. Well, I got to thinking about how we often think about baptism as something that happened to us, or we've gone to a baptism that occurred at this point in time. When in reality, yes, the ritual ended and it was a certain length of time, but our baptismal mission continues onwards for our whole entire life, and how it calls us to change. And to live a Christ that's imitating, to live a life that's imitating Christ, and
as opposed to the Christ that's imitating life.
Right. Because I don't think that happens. But I don't know. Maybe there's some deep theological thing in there, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So anyhow, that was my first thought about baptism, is how we often think that it's one time and maybe we have a piece of paper that proves that we were baptized, but really that piece of paper should be proving that we're living a life of this baptismal mission.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very important part to remember, not just with the sacrament of baptism, but with a lot of our sacraments, that they require a living on. They happen once, but it's something that it's not a one-time event, but it's something that's continually lived on. And you think about that, you know, in other forms of vocation and marriage and religious life, priesthood, that kind of thing, that it's not something that, you know, you were married once and then that's it. You know, you have to live that out. So.
And it's about that relationship, too. That's probably the perfect example, because you don't just get married and then you go live separate lives.
Right.
But it's that relationship, and that baptism calls us to live in relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I think that's very insightful, too, is you're right, we do need that relationship with God. And, you know, part of what we see in the gospel today is that revelation of Christ being the one with whom God is well pleased. And I think that hopefully our goal in living our lives should be one where when we see God or when we hear his voice, that he can say that about us too, that he's been well pleased with the way we live out our life. Now, granted, we're going to be somewhat different from Christ, but we're not God or divine for one, and we're all sinners, but we do need to live that life so that God can say that to us as well.
You know, another thing I like a lot of things about the church, but one of the things this week I'm impressed with is this, the baptism of the Lord that we're celebrating this week actually concludes the Christmas season. Now, most of us probably have put away our trees and all the stores have their Valentine's Day things out, but really, the Christmas season continues all the way through this Sunday. And
so if your tree is not down yet, leave it up till Sunday is what Dawn is saying.
And I have my tree up, but that's mainly because I'm a procrastinator. But anyhow, that's besides the point. But anyhow, and so I love how the church continues the celebration, and that the end of the Christmas season doesn't end with the baby Jesus still, but we have Jesus now as an adult and beginning his mission. And so I like the way that that whole picture happens. In addition, I was mentioning to Brian before that I didn't realize it till this time that in the gospel today, the language says that the heavens were torn open. And it's similar to when we have the crucifixion reading and the veil of the sanctuary was torn from top to bottom, and how that language is the same, and how this is a new event and we need to pay attention to it.
Yeah, it's what we call apocalyptic language. So it's dealing with, you know, language of things at the end times. When people talk about, you know, what's going to happen at the end of the world or the end of time, you know, one of the images is that of the heavens being torn open and all the glory of the heavens will descend upon earth or come down upon earth, as well as, you know, the wrath as well, as what people, you know, when you think about these end times. But I think that's the image we're meant to see here, is that all the glory of the heavens are descending down here. You have God, who is now entered into the world, and in a sense, this here marks the beginning of Jesus's mission, is what we usually say. It's really the beginning of his adult life. He gets baptized, and then he starts to go out and do all the miracles and the preaching and stuff that we hear about in the scriptures. And so, in a sense, it's now we're seeing that the heavens are open. Jesus is going to start proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. And really, we're entering into this whole new era of Christian history, or of salvation history, if you will. Something different happens in the world. And that's something that I think a lot of times we forget as Christians, how Christ really transformed history. One of the things, I'm working on this big thesis paper, I'm actually coming to the end of it. I've got, I think, around 57, 58 pages. It needs to be 60 to 100, which I interpret meaning 60. So, but it's one of the things I'm dealing with is talking about what we call mythological language in the scriptures. And one of the things that comes up in my thesis is this notion that this mythological language, first of all, it's prevalent in the scriptures, but also it reveals something to us. And one of the authors I'm looking at talks about there really is a transformation in history, in that there's this concern for the underprivileged, concern for victims, that comes about that never existed before Christ came and gave us that kind of concern for the innocent victims and concern for people who are hit by unfortunate circumstances. He said, for example, like when one nation is struck by some sort of a natural disaster, like a tsunami or something like that, or a great earthquake, a lot of other nations will run to aid that nation. Whereas in previous times in history, all the nations would run to take over that nation because they would be at their weak point. So that's one of the ways in which, and that's so ingrained in our mentality that we kind of take it for granted that nobody's going to go invade a nation, right after there's been a huge earthquake or something that. But that's something that really didn't occur until after the Christ event, that concern for victims. Before, it would have been taken for granted that, their enemies are going to come now and just do the cleanup work.
That's very insightful, Brian. Thanks for sharing that today.
That's from a theologian named Rene Girard. That's not my insight.
Oh, well, you shared it.
That's right.
Actually, I was thinking about, before we even started our podcast, that of our listening audience, me included, probably most of us have never had the opportunity to be the minister at a baptism. So I was wondering, you being a deacon now for many months, what is it, like 8 months? I'm sure being at seminary, you don't have a chance to perform many baptisms, but I know you've at least done a few. Could you tell us what that's like? Is there any, I guess, what it's like?
Yeah, for me, it was a real powerful experience, especially my first one. My biggest fear was always, of course, dropping the baby. So I let the parents do that. I let the parents do that. I'm like, I can't afford to replace that. If I break your baby, I can't get you a new one.
Oh, dear.
So I let them do that. But no, it's in seriousness, it for me was a real powerful experience. And one of the things that I found most powerful in my reflections on it is the way that words that I say have the power to affect reality in that. And I was thinking about this both in terms of context of baptism and marriages. But when I say, that I've baptized this person in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that person is now changed. They are now a member of the body of Christ by the power of my actions and my words in doing that. And that for me was just a real awesome experience, but also you get this sense of, you're really this, who am I to be doing this? Oh my goodness, what is it? The power of what you're doing becomes so much more real to you, or something. I guess would be the best way to describe it, or you become really aware of it. I've been studying here at seminary and talking about doing this for years, but then when you actually do it, you say, oh my goodness. This child is now a member of the body of Christ. I have, forever, and that's forever, it's permanent, whether they act like it or not, is a completely different story, but they are. I mean, that's what we believe, is the baptism does indeed incorporate you into the body of Christ once and for all. And so that's a real powerful experience when you realize, what that means. I mean, in terms of, bringing this child to Christ, Christ, making Christ manifest in the world again through the baptism, building up the body of Christ, all that kind of thing. It's just a really powerful experience. And you also get this sense of, awesome responsibility that you have too at the same time. So it's kind of a humbling experience at the same time. And I've only done 4 baptisms. I don't know if it's one of these things where, I'm sure the first few times you do things, you become much more aware of the significance because you've never done it before, kind of like anything else. So I don't know if every priest would speak about it that way or something, but I do think that really for me was the fact that what I'm doing, there's actually something real happening here. It's not just a ceremonial thing. That for me is what was really powerful in it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So,
very neat.
Yeah. And it's in 2 of the baptisms I did were for friends of mine, for their children. And so that was also really neat being able to celebrate that with friends. And, it's a special moment for them and for their family and everything. And just being able to be part of that is also, very exciting too.
Oh, such a privilege.
Yes. And it's also nice to see that we've got people who are still coming to church and baptizing kids too.
That is true.
So we appreciate that as well. Well, Don, I can see we're coming to the end of our podcast, but hopefully our listeners have learned something today about baptism, and hopefully they'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.